Are you ready for the Low Blows Network?
Friends, I'm Monday Madness. Welcome to another episode of the Jelly Filled Donut Podcast.
Woo!
We're on episode 8, lads.
Basically finished at this stage.
Yeah, I mean, we're already like, what, like a tenth of the way there? Yeah. An 11th of the way through, even. You know, we practically haven't even started the podcast at this rate.
I've got to call it now. Ashay beats the league.
Ah, no. Don't spoil it for everybody, you know.
He's not good enough for that now.
Yeah. I choose the
naysayers.
I'd like to think we'll never get to the stage where Ash will be the Pokemon League.
He'll die before he gets there.
Even in the time when he actually does win a league, we will be 70. So that's not going to happen.
And Ekans will swallow him whole.
As God intended.
Yes.
So your usual Jonathan, James and Burpa joining you as
Hello.
Ever.
Hello.
For what is, I don't want to call this one of the first filler episodes. I think it's still kind of like in that like vein of like a kind of interesting episode.
Oh, it's absolutely filler.
Nah, it's filler.
You think it kind of
it's
filler?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Is there a new character introduced that lasts for more than an episode?
Mm.
Does Ash catch anything new? Does Ash get a badge?
Okay, fine. I'll give you...
not one of those...
I think
that's
you have to
criteria.
Get two out of the three for it to be non-filler.
Okay. That's good criteria, in fairness, like, because we can kind of use that from now on, then, for like, our podcasting needs.
Yeah.
You know.
Or, no, evolution as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If something happens that
leads into the next episode,
mm-hmm.
It's not filler.
Okay. That's good criteria. I like that. So, welcome to the first filler episode, where we're not going to give a shit, basically.
Yep.
Expect more tangents and us not paying attention to our to our rundown.
The third episode is the first filler episode.
No! No. Clearly one of the most important episodes in the entire history of the show.
I can't believe you even had to try and argue to toss about that. Like, what are you playing at, man? Are you trying to get dumped? Is that what this is? Because I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to be party this system again. Anyway, so the episode we're going to be talking about is the 8th episode of the Indigo League, and it is the path to the Pokemon League. It doesn't have anything to do with the Pokemon League, by the way.
Oh, but it says it in the title.
Yeah, the government's lying to you kids, I'm sorry. So, the episode starts off with yet another recap from the narrator, but gets cut off as both the narrator and Ash don't know where they're going.
And you think this isn't filler?
I just feel like it's a nice like fork in the road and see what happens. Like, oh, they're stuck in the fog. It's the fucking Blair Witch Project or some shit like that. But clearly, I was wrong.
Yeah,
clearly mistaken. Anyway, so Misty reminds them that they're going to Vermilion City, where the next gym is. That is their point. So Ash rushes off down the path, Misty warning them that there are tough trainers ahead. I.e., there are trainers ahead.
Yeah.
Because every battle is tough to Ash.
There are youngsters ahead.
And
yes.
He bets that none of them have Pokemon badges. The two that he's been, like, gifted.
Yes. Like, in canon, he's actually never had a proper Pokemon battle yet.
Yeah. He hasn't had...
I'm not counting
or
that.
Or Team Rocket matches.
Also not counting them.
No.
They're complete frauds. They nick those Pokemon and they keep, like, go checking the combat. You sludge. Sludge. You're fucking useless. What are you doing? The one they keep fucking up, like, they can't even get their Pokemon rights, like. Ash doesn't heed her warning, obviously, because she's a girl and smelly. So he bets none of them have any Pokemon badges, and the title screen comes up. That's kind of the theme of this episode, is basically Ash has got, like, massive bouts of hubris.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
He's got two badges, he thinks he's hot shit, and he's going to get knocked down a few pegs throughout this episode.
Good.
Yeah.
Which means we're going to really enjoy ourselves here, because it's about time somebody knocked him off his perch. I'm not sure how he got onto the perch to begin with, but here we are.
I mean, we said that about Tina before.
That's true, actually.
Tina
yeah.
got onto that perch.
She just did. Like, she climbs over. I know she's the Jack Russell, but she fucking climbs everywhere. Like, as we'd seen ourselves when you guys walked in, and she logged onto my fucking computer totally by accident. Anyway, so it cuts back to Pidgeotto knocking out a Charles Rattata. Apparently, this is Ash's 10th victory in a row.
Okay.
Well done, him. He's beating children.
Look, it's the most amount of training we've seen him do so far.
And fairness, we're actually taking his word that it's his 10th victory. We could be just saying, like, what? You know, like,
can't count.
Do you know, like, where someone's trying to do
1, 6, 10, a jillion.
A jillion, 7, F.
Infinity plus 1. But also, we also know that from the last episode, Pidgeotto is around level 31.
Yes.
And Rattata, as good as they can be, are usually below level 31.
Typically speaking, yes. From my experience, I don't think I'd ever use a Rattata above level 31. Although, scratch that, I wouldn't even use a Rattata.
You're missing out.
Far too refined for that. But, so yes, he's obviously at his 10th victory. We get a handshake after. Ash boasts, shows off his badges to the chagrin of his friends and Pikachu. Even his best friend is going like, dude, you're way out of line. You just need to rein it in, like.
Well, thank God Brock's calling him on it.
Yeah, in fairness, like, at least somebody is, I suppose, is the point.
Yeah.
So the boy says to Ash that he might be even able to take on AJ, whoever that is. He's apparently never lost a match.
Okay.
And Ash says, until now, because he hasn't come across someone like him. See, look, the two badges, guys. Look, see my badges? Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, are you there? Hello? So, quite an amusing line here. Misty says Ash is getting a big head. While Brock says his brain is staying the same size. And then Seinfeld music plays in the background and everyone goes home happy. So you get to then cut to a sign that says AJ's gym undefeated, and I love watching these old episodes back because like the text is clearly over spaced over the Japanese kanji, and it's just something really amusing about seeing like in like word art essentially, going like AJ's gym undefeated. It's something really amusing to me about that. It also gets like it has a scoreboard of 98-0, right?
Yep.
And it's also like a really like cute little note at the bottom called "Note: Gym not sanctioned by Pokemon League."
Yeah,
it's like so he's basically on par with those like that fighting dojo in Saffron City.
Basically, as qualified as Ash is.
More or less. Basically what Tiger Joe is, like Joe Exotic is to Zeus.
I mean, you're not wrong to be fair, because he's got a hell of a weird accent that we'll delve into in a couple of minutes.
I feel like Joe Exotic watched this episode. It's like, you know what? I can do this with Tigers.
I can be AJ. I can blame it on that bitch Misty Baskin. So Ash and Co. then stand in front of this tall wooden fence.
Uh-huh.
And we see kind of this kind of yellow and pink tent in the background. So I wonder what that could be about.
Circus?
It could be a circus. I hope it's a circus. That's not a circus. It wasn't a circus, lads. Sorry to spoil on you. So Ash isn't fazed at all by this and isn't put off by Misty reminding him of the scoreboard. Ash favours quality over quantity. Which, again, I don't know why he's drawing reference to himself there. We've seen the quality of his matches. That is not the case.
I mean, he beat that child without any problems.
Yeah, but the difference is, James, it's a child. He's 5. If you beat a 5-year-old at anything, do you get a big head?
No.
Don't answer that. Forget about it. Forget I asked, right? So someone from off camera then says, are you my next victim? Because I'm gonna spend this entire episode slagging off this guy's accent.
Yeah.
He starts off in New Orleans and finishes off in Texas. Like, he literally just goes all the way down the Bible Belt, all the way up down. So walks in then, we have this kind of green and black haired dude.
Yeah.
He's got the kind of red and black Guy Fieri fucking shirt. Ash identifies him as the wild Pokemon trainer. But Ash, AJ still says that's his job, but beating chumps like Ash is his hobby. Again, Seinfeld.
Oh, what a prick.
Yeah. Yes, we get two unlikable characters now. I love it.
Yeah.
You love to see it, lads. So, the gates fling open then to a stage field of battle. A Butterfree comes out off screen and takes AJ's backpack, which is apparently full of wild Pokemon he's just caught. Again, I don't know if it's not probably going to come across once we start getting into it, but AJ is supposed to be this kind of analogue for, like, Pokemon trainers.
Yeah.
Like, as a word, a professional Pokemon trainers. So, from the competitive front, let's say. And in a way, like, it kind of, like, nails the commentary quite well, because, like, AJ is a prick. He's a colossal prick.
And but he's good at what he does.
He's good at what he does. This is the thing. And, like, if you wanted to be a competitive Pokemon trainer, if you were in kayfabe, let's say, and you're, like, going, like, well, I need to get like the best Starmie or whatever it is, let's say.
Yeah.
I need to have a Starmie that has this nature, that is best on these stats,
yeah,
has these moves. I bred it, yeah, so that it has this move from birth.
Yeah.
And then all this sort of stuff. And all you're really doing is, like, you're hatching eggs and you're discarding the ones that you don't like, practically. Like, that's, like, that is a cruel fucking thing to do, because you're basically going, like, oh, the star you was born, it's so cute. Oh, it's sassy instead of hardy. Throw it away, I don't need it. You know,
I mean, it's all how you
live. I do feel like this is Joe Exotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
You, like, have dog breeders, and they, you know, if there's a deformity with your dog, they get rid of it.
Yeah, that's pretty much how greyhounds function, unfortunately. Yeah. The greyhounds on lurchers. That's
so horrible. It's all in how you kind of advertise what he does.
Yeah. The one of the co-hosts of Low Blows, Katie Harvey, has a lurcher, so she will be nodding along to this about the greyhounds and lurchers malarkey. Like, she's gonna understand what we're on about there. But yeah, like, the Joe Exotic comparisons get fucking stronger as this show goes on. I'll say that much. Because the thought kind of popped into my head as well during this episode, but I just kind of blocked it out because of that bitch Carol Baskin. Like, I had to I just blame everything on her now. It's easier. Like, I stubbed my toe last week and I just said, that bitch Carol Baskin. So
you whacked it.
Yeah, I whacked it, yeah. You can't tell me that it didn't happen. So anyway, the tent is all in the background is also apparently full of freshly caught Pokemon straight out the oven, lads. Ash would like to see them after the match. AJ just changes the subject and goes, so what Pokemon will you pick for my 99th win? So, again...
Cocky Bastard.
So you have Cocky Bastard and you have Arrogant Bastard. Which one do you want to win the less, basically?
I mean, we've spent some time with Ash, so I really want to see him, like, get bit.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It really would be nice. So, anyway, both step up to the battlefield and both keep trash-talking. Great banter between the two, naturally. AJ comes to battle with a whip, so he's like the old-school Pokemon. I'm actually sorry I mentioned it, but he's like the old Pokemon tamers in the games.
Yes.
Where he actually has the whip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he uses it quite effectively, it seems. So, apparently the reason he's doing this whole, like, unsanctioned gym, this fucking fight club he's got established, basically he's waiting to get 100 wins under his belt, and then he'll challenge for the Pokemon League.
Yeah.
That is his master plan. It's a good idea, I'm not going to lie. Like, get the experience, and you're able to just murder your way through the Pokemon League. It's a nice idea.
I mean, just even think of it as well as since we've trained up teams to get ready for our own battles, if you give something an expert belt or you give something a macho brace,
yes,
go into a battle, get your EVs, get a fully trained EV train up your Pokemon before you start challenging the gyms.
Exactly.
That's not a bad shot.
It isn't. It really, really isn't. And especially in like that's what you kind of did in like Generation 3 or Gen 4, really, when they started doing that sort of stuff a bit more. Like with Gen 2, you could practically walk in with Magikarp and still win.
Yeah.
Somehow you could just contrive a way. But then once you had like tougher battles along the way, and you needed some sort of like plan to work, like if you went in like Ash here against Cynthia, you were going to get destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
But once you had, like, a team that made sense and worked and clicked, then you had a way through, you know?
I'd like to see Birkblood actually try to play a Gen 4. I think we've built up Cynthia a lot over the last few days.
Yeah.
Well, as we were established on the Foxy Bros podcast, Birkblood has a very interesting idea on team chemistry.
Yeah.
Which, again, check out the podcast if you want to know what her team was to defeat Elite Four. And I will say, I guarantee you, the team you're thinking of right now is not the team that she had.
No.
Okay, let's just rule that out.
If
right
anyone then. Comments below on any of our formats that this goes out with the correct team, Jonathan will pay you €1 million.
No, that's not true. That is not, no, do you know why? Because Foxy Bros would have come out by now, Bert Bob. I think it's true. Continuity. Anyway, so he's waiting on 100 wins to challenge for the Pokemon League. Ash Ginger reminds him that he has 10 wins and 2 badges. Further proven, he doesn't do maths. So his no identity is kind of like this nose grows malarkey. But as we know, like, the nose growing thing is about lying. It's a Pinocchio like comparison. So is he lying about having 10 wins? Or is he lying because he didn't really earn the 2 badges?
Oh, he definitely didn't earn those badges.
And he knows that.
Yes.
It's like he's trying to convince himself.
Does he know that? Or...
No, it's like he's trying to convince himself. Like, these are mine. I got them. Fair and square. It's great.
See?
I am fantastic. My mom said so.
I'm such a great Pokemon trainer. The gym leaders have started following me.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're definitely not his carers.
They're both there going like, Misty, Rock, listen, right. I know it's been quiet so far, but if you follow this kid around, I imagine we get so much more fun out of it. Like, look at him. Look at him trying to fight the Pikachu. Like, that is so cute. Okay? Come on, let me just follow him around. Come on.
They're being paid by Professor Oak. So yeah. He got on like, look, Delia needed him out of the house. We are kind of concerned for his health, though.
Do you mind? Make
sure he doesn't kill himself.
Yeah. We'll give you 2 months paid leave if you could just chaperone him around Kanto. Let him have fun. Let him lose the Pokemon League. He'll go home crying. He'll go somewhere else. And he'll be someone else's problem. Or so they thought. As the case may be. So AJ criticised the badges he won from them, calling them Failure City and Wimpsville.
Yeah.
Which is just 2 sick burns right there. Again, slightly awkward considering that Misty and Brock are both there, so they both get literally fired up. They're in like there's this like shot of them like on fire, telling Ash to kick this guy's ass. So out comes Sandshrew then for AJ, and this is again we call this a Sandshrew episode, and this is why. Both Brock and Misty suggest caution, which Ash fobs off, and Ash sends out Pidgeotto. So at this point we switch to battle mode. So both Pokemon start charging at each other. Yep. Brock says Ash should have the feet advantage with a flying type. Ash says Sandshrew can't fly as a Ash says Sandshrew can't fly, and then just flies up and hits Pidgeotto in midair. Yep. With a move that's kind of very familiar to Rollout, which wouldn't have been invented until Gen 2.
Yeah.
But it's the whole idea of it, I guess. So Pidgeotto is already down to the ground at this point. Ash then returns Pidgeotto for Butterfree. Ash tries Stun Spore, but Sandshrew digs underground and obviously dodges the attack. Bemused Butterfree stops the attack, and a crack of the whip, Sandshrew emerges from the dirt and pins Butterfree to the ground, and that's the end of the battle.
Lovely.
It is already fucking done. Now, this is where we take over. Mm-hmm. And in terms of Ash's Pokemon first, we have Butterfree. We've established from the last episode, Tackle, Stun Spore, Sleep Powder is what it should have. Pidgeotto, we know it has Wing Attack.
But it's also dropped, like, 13 levels here.
This is the problem, because we, like, yeah, it didn't, like, deploy Wing Attack, like, we could assume that maybe it has, like, is level 18 at this one.
Yeah.
We could still, like, I think it's up to our interpretation whether we treat it as if it's level 31 or level 18. I'd say it is level 31 still, because it has Wing Attack, but like that's totally unrealistic, really, for this point in the game. So I, for the purpose of this battle, I'm happy to say it's like lower levels, like something more realistic, level 18. Because we know it's used in this battle, Quick Attack, Gust, and Whirlwind, so we're happy to work with that. Now, AJ Sandshrew, on the other hand, is an interesting one, because the moves that it does know, and as such it learns, is Tackle and Defense Curl. Okay? Now, the trouble with this is, the other two moves it learns is Dig and Fissure.
Yep.
Which are two moves it doesn't learn naturally. Which is very, very odd for Sandshrew. But it's Generation 1, stuff didn't make sense.
Yeah.
They fixed a lot of that in Generation 2. Like.
And there's a fair amount of, they just made up moves as they went.
Precisely. So, I'm willing to give him a bit of a free pass on this. Because it's pre-evolved, I've said that the Sandshrew is level 21.
Okay.
Because, like, you would have evolved him into Sandslash if you wanted to. But obviously it's not at that point yet.
This guy actually knows what he's doing, mm-hmm. so he might have held off in evolving it so that it can learn more better moves earlier.
That's true.
He's actually a competent trainer.
He is a competent trainer. Like, he could be holding it for Slash or Earthquake, which was, like, level 43 or something. But, again, because it has... I had to go for Fissure over Earthquake because he uses this later on. So I just said we have 2 learned moves. I presume he has TMs, so we can take that as an assumption. So I think that level is sensible enough just for the time being. So again, let's kind of take roles here. So if we start off with, we're starting off with with Pidgeotto versus Sandshrew here. Like, as Brock says, like, Pokemon should have flying Pokemon should have the advantage. It's not really the case though, type wise.
Well, looking at the moves that Sandshrew has here,
mm.
if he is Dig and he is Fissure, they're not doing anything against Pidgeotto.
Indeed, yeah.
So Brock is right in saying they have the advantage because Sandshrew's best moves can't do anything against a Flying type.
Yes.
So you're looking at a Defense Curl, isn't an attacking move, and tackle, which is weak.
It is weak. Now, I'd say, like, AJ being, like, smart here would just defense curl, because Sancho has brilliant defense.
Yeah.
Especially at this point in the game, if you are higher, if that's higher level than yours, you're going to have a very bad time if you don't have a fire or water or grass type.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Ash doesn't have that luxury right now. So, I'd be inclined to say, even if it's a 2-on-1 battle, I still think Sancho would actually win here, because, like, again, defense curl, so you have a super defense. No matter what attacks you really do, because Gust, if I recall, flying types are physical.
Gust in Gen 1 was a normal type.
It was normal type, you're right. So even still, it's doing no damage whatsoever, especially if the defense curl is constant.
Yeah.
So I'd be inclined to say that Sancho would win out here.
Yeah.
Against both, because with Butterfree, like, it's bug flying, so you could argue maybe it's doing sleep powder, it's slowing down everything. But even still, like, it only knows tackle. So, it's not doing the damage it requires, you know? So, I'd be willing to say, like, even with the disadvantage, Sancho still wins for me.
It still only has tackle, though, as an offensive move against both of them.
Yes.
So, you could definitely argue that
could be metapod levels of attrition.
Yes. Oh, okay. It would be, yeah.
Also, fully trained, you know, fully attack EV'd.
Yes, perhaps, yeah.
Actually, I'd agree that Sancho would have it.
Yeah, I think so too.
So that, I think, would win out the match, it actually being properly levelled as against Ash's.
Yeah.
Like a hodgepodge.
Exactly. And as we would have established, like, if Pikachu was in the battle, it'd still go to Sancho because of Dig and Fissure. Like, that would be a no contest.
Yeah.
So yeah, we reckon AJ would have won absolutely there. Oh, like, yeah. That's nail on. So
also, it's Ash.
Yeah, it's Ash, exactly. Always important to take that into account. So Pikachu is clinging on to for dear life as Ash is pulling its tail, trying to get it into the battle, which is just, like, it's harsh, I'll be fair. Like, you're not... Animal welfare is not a thing to Ash Ketchum, which I'm not really surprised by.
But
really.
They're not animals.
I know, but
they're
still.
Pokemon, that's different somehow.
Fine, then. I'll just call the DSCPP, then. I love as well that both Buck and Misty are stepping away from this, because they don't want to be a part of this animal cruelty. And Pikachu just shocks Ash for his trouble, because he rightfully deserves that. Again, the big nose is back, and it breaks, which means that Ash's hubris has finally been destroyed.
Yep.
Somehow, 10 battles and 2 badges does not make you a good Pokemon trainer. I am shocked. Shocked and appalled to hear that. So, when the battle ends, then we see the binoculars of Team Rocket scouting Sandshrew. And Meowth thinks it's fat, so the humans will have to carry it.
Yep.
I think Meowth is confusing what fat and big boned is. Just saying. They also criticise AJ's fashion sense, says that it belongs in a museum.
Joe Exotic does belong in a museum.
That is a good point. Again, the comparisons grow. Meowth says it's better than them trick-or-treating. Because apparently they look like they're dressed up for Halloween or something.
Oh, that is lost on
everyone. That translates well.
Yes, it does. It translates very well because Jane punches Meowth out of the tree they're sitting in. So, bad joke, gets hit, falls over to the ground.
Jesse sitting in a tree.
Trick or treating, according to Meowth. No, it doesn't work. So, the scoreboard then, we see changes to 99-0 as AJ celebrates. Ash cries that it's not fair. I don't think he realises what Pokemon matches are like. He wants a 2-out-of-3-falls match, basically. AJ doesn't deal with crybabies, which I suppose he's in his right to say.
Yep.
Ash then cries foul, implying there's some sort of match rigging and cheating going on. Unfortunately, Ash, you're wrong, because this is not a FIFA sanctioned match, so it was all above board. So AJ says he should chill out while Brock tries to figure out why he's so strong. So Brock's trying to, like, use his brain here, like, why is this Sancho so good? So AJ says he should tells Ash to come back when he grows up. Very, very harsh. So once he's wrong. Yeah, he does. So he goes into the tent here, and then we can hear AJ shouting at, like, somebody or something about the battle of the performance battle. This obviously sparks Ash's curiosity, and then he pokes into the tent to see an image of, like, a whip and a Pokeball, basically, as, like, this kind of sign. Now, granted, if you're doing, like, a pretty, like, intense training camp that involves whipping Pokemon, are you going to put a sign up saying as such?
Well, I mean, he's not. It's not false advertising.
Yeah, it's honest at least.
Yeah.
I suppose you can give him that, but even still, like, I'd like to know what, because the image was like superimposed onto the screen, so I'd love to know what the Japanese one was, because I imagine it was harsher than that, because like there's obviously a reason why they covered it up. Like, I presume it was in kanji. That's the only thing I can assume.
Also makes sense.
Yeah. So what we see then is we see a Butterfree and Beedrill sparring with Rattatas. They're jumping through like fiery hoops and on balls. So again, there's a real kind of like circusy vibe off this.
Yeah.
I guess that's what they're kind of going for. Again, the exotic comparisons are
resonating
here. And they're all wearing like these kind of metal harnesses. Again, kind of like macho braces.
Yeah.
Really, kind of precluding that whole idea. So Sanshu dives into the pool, backs out, and jumps out immediately. And AJ like whips it to get back into the pool. At which point Ash shouts and charges at him into the pool, which is not at all rash judgments whatsoever. So Ash says he's hurting Sandshrew, but AJ won't take advice from amateurs, which again is perfectly entitled.
That's fair.
You know, apparently the brace is an invention from AJ called a strength intensifier.
This is EV training.
Yeah, exactly. Like he is the quintessential like competitive Pokemon trainer.
Yep.
He screams at Sanshu to get back into the pool. Sanshu obliges, dives back out, and shakes off the water as Ash protests.
Yeah.
So, like, Ash is saying, like, don't you know that Sanshu is weak to water? It's like, and AJ's going, yes, that's the point.
That's what I'm doing. I'm fixing that.
Like I say, like, you not get anything about this pole training malarkey. Like, if you want to toughen up the Pokemon, you have to give it, like, obstacles to climb over.
Yeah.
But, obviously, that's not dwelling on his mind. So AJ is obviously aware of the weakness, but says it's the only Sanshu in the world able to withstand water, presumably thanks to his training.
That's why, like, that was his test.
Yes.
If we're saying he's as morbid as possible, every Sanshu that he hatched, he threw into the water. Only one came out.
Oh,
that's dark. That's fucking dark, man. Like, I've heard, like competitive battlers are callous by nature. But that's just fucking harsh. Like, like, I don't remember going like, oh, this Togepi's cute, let's see if it fucking floats. Like, I don't think that's how it works.
But it's the only way, like, this is him selective breeding.
That's,
and he's forcing eugenics.
That's culling. That's a Sanshu culling.
Yes. Like, look, he's not overpopulating the world with Sanshus.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, okay, he's not doing that. All he's doing is the Pokemon equivalent of drowning puppies in a bag.
To get the shiny puppy.
To get the one that survives. Jesus Christ, AJ is a prick. He's also definitely Joe Exotic, because he did that, like, he definitely did that. Sanshu then gets rolled around by three Rattatas, he gets, like, played around with. And Ash pipes was saying, I thought you said pacing, not passing. And...
great puns.
Everyone just goes, I want to fucking kill you! And again, I think this is some weird Japanese humour that just doesn't land. Because then you get like a Pikachu offering him a cushion, just out of nowhere. And then like Ash said, I said pacing, not padding. Or he actually gets the words wrong himself.
Yeah.
And then he screamed at the Pikachu and it's carrying under the cushion. Like, I'm sorry, don't shout at me, I'm 12.
That's just like Tina.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. She is like that, though. Like, if you try and do something and you go, oh, I'm sorry, I love you. which is why she's such a fucking arsehole of a dog.
Yep.
We can't be mean to her. So he scurries off under the cushion, which is actually kind of an amusing little, like... it's like a gif of us, like, oh, I'm in trouble. So AJ is striving for excellence, as Ash wonders why he's so hard at Sandshrew. AJ explains that Sandshrew was his first Pokemon and explains when he caught it on a thunderous night.
His first one that survived.
Yes. Well, this is the story he's telling us, I guess. So, whether we choose to believe it or not is another story. He said that he'd become the best Pokemon trainer with Sanshu. Like, this is what he was going to do. And they show, like, this kind of, like, very quick training montage of what they've done together. So, they've endured fierce storms and ranging winds and sacrificed everything to achieve their dream. And they do this by basically showing that they've cried together, basically.
Okay, just pointing out, winning 99 times in a row, let's say... you might get 3 matches in a day. He's been doing this for a month.
Yes.
There's some weird weather patterns for a month.
James, have you ever heard of global warming? It's a pretty big deal right now, you know?
Have you ever heard of a Pokemon drizzle ability?
Yeah, that's what happened. Every time you keep training, a fucking Pelipper just flies past. Like, you fuck off already! Just there, just trying to concentrate, and suddenly Ninetales just pops up and makes it Sunny. It's like, dude, take a fucking hint here. Honestly.
These are the 99 battles that he won.
Yes, exactly. Just with some Pokemon just happened to be there. Like, you know. So, yeah, they showed a compilation, and then Ash argues they should be friends with their Pokemon, not, like, you know, like sparring partners, I guess. So Brock has asked... Ash is trying to get back up here, so he asks for Brock's advice here. And Brock goes, that's nice, Ash, but what food are you feeding these Pokemon? And it's just like, and Ash is going like, please, someone, see my point of view. And AJ just goes, oh, here, I'll show you myself, yuck, yuck. And fucking opens up this fridge for, like, all labelled jars of food just for certain Pokemon. Which is, again, a breeding thing. Like, yep, there's berries you can give to guys for, like, weakens their attack, boosts their defence.
Yep.
Makes Seymour's happy.
Pretty much, yeah. That's exactly it. Like, clearly, that's who he was testing on all this time.
The scientist.
So yeah, we see all these jars that have secrets for each Pokemon. The recipes are secret, of course. And Brock goes, "Yes, yes, of course. You don't want to, you know." They're like two elfles, like comparing notes, like, "Oh, Jays, now you wouldn't. You'd only be seen in the magic circle, huh? Isn't that right? Yeah, yeah." Anyway,
well, this is like really how much. Brock is babying baby and Ash around him, and it's like whenever something is actually interesting.
Yes.
Quiet boy.
Yeah. The grown-ups are talking, shush. Go play with the Pikachu and be a good boy, that's it. Eat your lollipop. The whole gist of it is that, like, Brock is actually quite impressed with AJ's, like, skill here.
Yeah.
And while they're kind of just chatting away about, like, boring adult stuff, we cut to, like, Sandshrew, like, working out with the brace on and doing, like, weights.
And Pikachu having a skit.
This is really funny. Like, he tries to lift the dumbbell and he just gets crushed underneath. It's like, bleh! Like, it's one of those fucking gym videos you see all the time, like. So, after that, then it cuts to Team Rocket outside formulating their master plan. They've got some rubber gloves and a big red ball. What could possibly go wrong? So they tried a new motto that doesn't fit. It's very rhymey. It's all about the circus. That shit. Meowth tries one of his own. They kick the shit out of him, as is the tradition with Team Rocket.
Yeah.
And they get the line, choreography killed the cat after that. Which, again, rightfully ends with an ad break there, because we've had enough of this.
Yeah.
So, as I said, we do have an ad break. We do not have sponsors, though. So, yeah. James,
it is time to tag in. Who's that Pokemon?
Who's that Pokemon? Do-do-do. Thank you. So, it is your turn to quiz us on a Pokemon of your choice. Okay. And I will remind you that you are currently leading the series 11-10-9.
So, it is my in my interest to make this as obscure as possible.
Yes, your job here is to park the bus.
Okay. Exciting, but exciting times. Its body bristles with sharp spikes. Carelessly trying to touch it could cause fainting from those spikes. I'm going to give this to Burkbot first.
Oh, so many spiky Pokemon.
Yep.
Do you know this?
This is the Pokemon Home entry for it. Because I think we know plenty of the...
the old school ones. Yeah.
So,
can I get it again?
Sure. Its body bristles with sharp spikes. Carelessly trying to touch it could cause fainting from those spikes.
Sandslash.
I am going to go for Jolteon.
You're both wrong.
Oh.
Its main ability is Poison Point.
Ah, I have an idea.
Now, just to give you an idea, that in the games means that if you have a physical touching attack, your tackles, your quick attacks,
it has a 20% or 30% chance,
yeah,
of poisoning it.
Oh.
So we're down to 4 points at most each.
Yeah, and you're a bollocks for doing this, by the way. I know exactly what you've done.
Why?
I know exactly what you've done here.
Have you got...
I have an idea, but the problem is it's a 1 in 6 chance.
1 in 6, okay.
Fucking hell.
Oh, I think I know what direction you're going.
The trouble is, I don't know if that's where you're going. That's the trouble. There's still that layer of doubt in my mind.
The only one that's come to my mind, I know it's wrong.
Go on.
Is the one I picked last week. Cloister, but I'm not going with that.
Okay.
That's the only pointy one I can think of right now. I can think of nothing else that's pointy.
She's only got like smooth Pokemon in her mind. She can only think of Voltorb. It's just like rolling around.
Quality content here.
I'm keeping all this in, by the way.
Seedra.
Seedra's a good one. Seedra's a fucking good one. I didn't think of that. I was going to go for one of the Nidorans.
I knew that when you said 1 in 6. I knew that was the direction you're
the
going.
Problem is, you see, the worst thing about this is you're going to fucking split hairs here and you're going to say male or female.
Okay.
But the problem is then it could be Nidorino, Nidorina, Nidoking, Nidoqueen. So I'm going to hedge my bets here. I'm going to go for Nidorino.
Nidorino. Okay. Let's see. It's...
So we both got it wrong, I think, is what we're getting at.
No, Burkpop got it right.
Oh, oh, nice!
Oh, fuck you, because that was my one for next episode.
This was always going to happen. Yeah. Eventually, someone was going to snipe theirs.
Oddly enough, bro. Its other ability is Sniper.
Yes. How appropriate, James, you prick.
So I was going to go through the its height,
yes,
its other abilities. And
as you were well in your right to do.
Burkbot
well.
Got it.
Yeah, well done. Well played, Burkbot. You saved us there.
I only knew that it had the fucking poison tip thing because I'd read it earlier on.
That's good. That's good shit. So that means, Burkbot, you lead now. 13-11-10.
Woo!
So
pressure,
again,
I can't
you're host this time, so
Yeah.
Oh, so. 4 times ahead, lads. So back to the show then. And our second half starts with an alarm where AJ says everyone gets a break. I love the alarm here, by the way. It's literally just like a gong and a Hitmonlee just comes up and kicks it. I like that. I want that alarm.
First, I have a couple of nice clocks and I'd like to have a Pidgey clock in another scene.
I do love the craftsmanship in them.
Yeah.
You know, there's something really endearing about them.
Was there a Voltorb clock as well? Anyway,
there will be a Voltorb clock.
Yeah.
I think not just yet, but there will be one.
But anyway,
yes. Actually, no. There was. You're right. There was the clock that Ash had at the bedside table.
Yeah,
you're right. There was one. So anyway, everyone gets a break. All the Pokemon are like taking a breather. They're knackered.
Yep.
AJ's gym follows the rule: no pain, no gain. I think that's very well established at this point.
Yep.
Ash again just will not fucking let this go. Like, he just refused to admit that, like, sometimes Pokemon trainers have to be harsh.
Yep.
And need to train the Pokemon in
a
certain way. So, again, AJ again calls his Pikachu stuffed, which Ash takes great offense to, swings a punch at him, and they both fall into the pool again. We have 3 episodes in a row where people eventually fall into pools. Like, it's... I don't know, was it just, like, a concurrent theme? Was it just, like, funny to people?
No, I think this might be, the art style, like once they have it out once, they can. There are someone who's like, you know what? I am really good at drawing people falling into pools.
It's my one and only thing, and please don't take this away from me.
Yeah,
fine. We're happy to give you 3 episodes. Deal.
Okay. Well, no, he's only brought in for the week.
That's it. They just have him drawing like the splash. And
yeah.
That's it, like, and then the rest we just work around it, like.
Yeah.
But he is a by far
we'll
the best person.
We'll find a reason to work it in somehow.
Every time we need a splash, you call him, right?
Yeah.
He's the one guy that does every splash animation ever. He's like that guy that does the cheesy pizzas. Like, that's his one and only job, and he makes millions out of it.
It's not even like a soundboard that makes the splash.
No.
It's just one guy who makes a really realistic splash sound.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And they wanted to hire him in.
So this is Mr. Splash. Good evening.
So we want 3 splashes for 3 episodes. So give us 3 slightly different ones.
Very well. My rates are $500 a day. That's pretty cheap for Splash Guy, actually, yeah. So, the both are scuffling in the water because they're basically just boys, silly boys.
Boys will be boys.
Indeed. Boys always play fighting pools. It happens all the time. Pikachu then is playing with the metal brace, and he accidentally puts it on and gets crushed into a ball. It's really funny because he's like trying to fight it and he just goes, he just like gets squeezed into it. Like, and Tantra goes, oh, that's funny. And then he just does a defense curl to show Pikachu how it's done.
Yeah.
This is quite funny because like the two of them were just there like in the middle of the floor, and then like Team Rocket roll in then on their red ball and go like, oh wow, this is actually quite handy. Is this Pikachu over here? Yeah, this is Pikachu over here. I can't see well because I'm dizzy. Oh, fine, this one is. And they pick Sandshrew by accident.
Yeah.
Without realising that Pikachu has an electric tail that looks like a lightning bolt.
Pikachu is furry.
Yes.
Sandshrew is...
scaly.
Scaly.
And they still get it wrong.
Yeah.
Even though the Sandshrew, as they've established, is fucking heavy.
Yeah.
And they still get it wrong. Anyway, so yes, they snatch Sandshrew by accident. And instead of just basically rolling it as they did, they just punch their legs out there of the ball and just fucking scarper, basically.
I mean, hard work's done.
The hard work's done. They found Pikachu.
Yeah.
Like, that's easy. We're done.
Why would you sneakily get out?
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. That just gives you more time to get caught.
Good night, everybody. We're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So they grab it, they scurry off then, and the Sandshrew's in the bag. I'm sure that'll go very well for them.
Oh, yeah.
So the bell rings again, this time a Hitmonchan punches the gong to get them to get back to work. AJ's looking for Sandshrew, but they find Pikachu, like, twisted on the floor. Ash tries to pull it free, nothing works. AJ then just, like, you know, presses the off button and sets Pikachu free. AJ asks then if Pikachu has seen Sandshrew, which it has not, because AJ could talk to the animals. Again, Joe Exotic. Ash suggests that it may have run away. And because of how well Ash and Pikachu get on, because he basically logically, like, you see, we're friends. You and Sandshrew clearly aren't. Which, again, he's missed the entire point all this episode. Yeah. Like, again, Pokemon trainers know how this works. Like, they need maximum happiness at some point too. So,
well, do you?
Sometimes do. It depends if they want to run frustration or not.
Yeah,
you know, if they want to be loved, they can be loved. That's the whole point. So AJ screams that Sandshrew wouldn't break a promise like that they made, and all the Pokemon scatter to go find him. So at this point, Team Rocket stopped for a breeder to, as both are arguing who should carry the Sandshrew, because again it's a unit and they have trouble like pushing it around. And as they're doing this, the Sandshrew bursts out of the bag and lands on Meowth, which is great because then Meowth has clung onto its tail and Sandshrew is just like frantically moving up as the Meowth is just there like going It's like a cat won't let go of a toy. He's like, no, I'm not letting go.
That is quite cat-like, though.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
And you would rather be lifted off the ground by the, you know, whatever he's holding on to than let go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So stubborn, like.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if he even means to at this stage, or he just can't let go.
His claws are trapped in it.
Exactly, yeah. So, Sandshrew doesn't give him a choice. He just digs on the ground and Meowth is obliged to follow. Switch back then to the tent, and Ash tries to rally the troops, asking if Pikachu wants to go with him. Raise their hand, without realising he's talking to Butterfree, a Beedrill, and Rattataz.
Yeah.
None of which have hands.
Well, Beedrill, kind of.
I mean, it's a, like, it's a needle. Like, raise your needle if you want to come with me. Like, he's really fucking stupid, isn't he, Ash? Like, it just strikes me every now and then. Like, God fucking damn it, man. So, obviously, nobody is paying attention to this, like, gobshite in the corner.
Yeah.
Because they're all, like, AJ's Pokemon, and they all actually quite like him.
Yeah.
And... no one cares, they keep moving on. Ash asks where Sandshrew, as he does, it emerges from the ground with Meowth in tow and straight into AJ's arms. And it's quite a lovely moment as they both hug.
Like, oh, they are friends.
They are football friends.
Maximum happiness.
Yeah, exactly. True strife and torture, I guess. So Ash and Meowth are on the floor, knocked out. And Ash just can't understand why they like AJ over him.
It's because they've got sardine oil on his clothes.
That could be it.
He's got all the food. You know, he gets all the food for the Pokemon, so therefore they like him because he gives them food.
Yeah. I mean, like, animals are basic creatures. Like, they'll go wherever the treats are. Yeah. You know, that's... I've learned
just
that the hard
like way. Joe Exotic.
Exactly. Is that why he doesn't like that bitch Carol Baskin? Because she's not covered in sardine oil.
Yeah, that's it.
She doesn't give any treats. They just put like different people in different shirts because she's a dangerous woman who must be stopped at all costs.
She just feeds them her ex-husband.
Yes. I can imagine that, just like some sort of like old like Pokemon trainers going, because they're like in an enclosure with fucking like Raikou, and it's like, oh, this should go well. This will be funny. Oh, look, he's getting eaten. Oh, he had to be there. Great crap. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to be looking through like Raikou droppings for fucking glasses, are they? I don't think that's happening. So anyway, Brock obviously has to explain the concept of tough love to Ash, who is also a budgeting Pokemon trainer who needs to do this as well. Completely over his head.
No.
So Pikachu draws everyone's attention to Meowth on the floor. They realise it was Team Rocket all along trying to kidnap Sandshrew.
Shocking.
Wow. Who could have guessed? They get Meowth to wake up and Ash gets slashed in the face for his trouble because that's why you should never wake up cats. Meowth is on his own as everyone squares up and like, they're all going to bunch around him. The Team Rocket appear in the doorway to save the day, singing their old motto. They get really emotional because they realise it was the old motto that got them into the game, not the new ones. They went back to their roots 8 episodes in.
It's the wrong motto.
Yeah, I know. Just let them have this one, alright? So Team Rocket explains it was a complete misunderstanding and they don't want a second-rate Sandshrew.
Well, that's fight and talk.
Kill Bill music kicks in. Yeah. AJ tells Team Rocket to step outside. No kind of way, like
he's about to feed them to his Sandshrew.
You can't tell me that it didn't happen. But the thing like, I love as well, like AJ was actually quite like, I wouldn't say polite about it, but he's like, you know when there's about to be a fight in an old man's pub in Ireland, he's going like, they've always had fights before, and it's just now it's time for another one. So like, Tommy, would you like to step outside? Paddy, I'd love to. Right, shall we fight? Sure we will. Will we go over the bog next time? No, I'd rather the ravine. Great, good on yourself. Let's go for it. Like real fucking quiet man shit going on here. So anyway, they kick
off.
That's
when you know to be scared.
Yeah, exactly. When they're politely asking for a fight. When they've normalised it.
Yeah.
That's when you should be afraid of this fuckers.
John Joe's off to fight again.
Oh, there he is now. Put the kettle on, lads. This will be over in 5 minutes. I've got a tenner on Paddy. So they kick off a battle then. Again, Team Rocket could have just run away at this point. They didn't. Yeah. So Ekans and Coffee come out to battle Sandshrew. Another 2-on-1 battle. This doesn't take long, lads, so we're not going to engage battle mode for this. Sandshrew, Ekans tries to bind Sandshrew, slips out and like ties Ekans in a knot.
Yep.
Again, it kind of cuts away and you see Pikachu like wearing like a cheerleader like gear, like a bandana and a fan.
Yeah.
Like real Japanese tropes. So Coffee tries to sludge Sandshrew, but it like spins the whole thing away. Meowth then tries its a hand and chases around in a plate like as a ball of yarn, which was kind of funny. It's just like,
yeah, it's slapstick.
It's slapstick. Yeah, I was like, what else were you expecting? You were asking a cat to chase after a ball.
Yeah,
what did you expect to happen?
Yeah,
we stop playing around and tries to bite Sandshrew instead and chips his teeth because I don't know if you've heard of defense curl, but it's a pretty big deal.
This guy anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So AJ calls Sandshrew to do his Fisher Strike. Which is obviously the move Fisher.
Yeah.
So he spins around a bit, points down to the ground, and the ground just splits open. It's a pretty cool visual, in fairness. Like, oh, like it really does sell Sandshrew quite well. And going, wow, this thing is fucking hardcore.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're watching this, you're going, can my Sandshrew do that?
No,
no, no, no.
Unfortunately, just for that glimpse, that one split second of hope. Yeah, having a Sandshrew, that's good.
Because AJ Sandshrew's a savage.
Indeed.
Swimming, diving, blasting. Sand attack, AJ's whip is a kraken. Sandshrew savage. You need the TikTok music for that now.
Sandshrew spins and splits the ground in two.
How long were you setting on that for?
I typed that out about an hour ago.
Yeah. I noticed it and I was completely sandbagging it, to be honest. Because I just don't want to give you any fucking leverage whatsoever. So. I'm just disappointing you, that's all. Like,
it's just because I didn't put the moves.
No, do you know why? Because you were fucking quiet for this entire podcast. And I know that's what you were cooking up before. Time. I was there going like, well, I'm really carrying this episode. I know I talk a lot, but I'm really fucking carrying this. I'd love it if she said something. And this was the payoff. This is the money shot. It was fucking worth it. That's the problem. This whole podcast is redundant now. We should have cut out the whole fucking middle of it. Fucking hell. Anyway, so Meowth, Ekans, and Koffing, they run away. Team Rocket gives chase. Which means that we jump in then and ask, I don't know what's the fucking point anymore, because we've done the money load already. Fuck it anyway. So, what should Rocket do, lads? The scenario is, right, TikTok or no TikTok, Team Rocket are observing a tent full of AJ's Pokemon with their eyes on both Sandshrew and Pikachu. They came prepared with a giant red ball and rubber gloves. All part of the Basil plan, I'm sure. AJ and Ash are constantly bickering while Misty and Brock look on. What should Rocket do?
See, I don't think they went in with any plan to get the Sandshrew. They are only going in with the plans for the Pikachu. The Pikachu just isn't worth it compared to here's like a properly trained Sandshrew ready to go. No, you know what the best plan is? Raid the fridge.
Shit, I was going to say that.
Raid the fridge. You've got black market Pokemon food. You can just take that and sell it.
And
to
lure them. Lure the Pokemon.
Yeah.
Do you?
I was also going to say
that's
that.
That's a great idea.
Great. Thanks, lads. You stole both my ideas in like quick succession.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, I was going to raid the fridge. And he says, shit, I'm going to raid the fridge. Okay, I can lure Pikachu with the food. No, she just says that. Bollocks. Okay, plan C. What's plan C?
It's not even just the Pikachu. You have the means to, like, lure all of the Pokemon out one by one.
Yes.
With what you've stolen from the fridge.
Yeah. Not only that, but, like, he has, like, it seems like he has food for, like, every Pokemon type. So you can't just keep going around and just lure Pokemon and trap them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what they should have done. I think we all agree that's what they should have done.
That's probably what they should have done. I'm trying to think now. Is there anything else they could do?
Take the braces. Take the...
The metal armor thingies.
Yeah,
they could steal that. I think the whole gimmick is like Nick and AJ's stuff, really, isn't it? Like it's just like you're gonna take the food, you're gonna take his Pokemon, or you're gonna take his like
his gym as well. Not a bad headquarters to take over.
That's true.
You've
got
a nice base to retreat to if you ever have to.
That's true. In fairness, like he's gonna leave it unattended, so Rocket could easily come back in and just nick the whole lot. Like,
yeah,
you know, like he doesn't seem to like take the jars of food with him, so.
It doesn't seem to take anything with him apart from Sandshrew.
Maybe he's left Beedrill in charge, and Beedrill's a real fucking hardcore with the food. Like,
yeah, he's such a buzzkill.
For fuck's sake.
I immediately regret doing this podcast in the first place. Like, you can't see my face here, lads, but I'm fucking devastated. Like.
So, I think we're in agreement that, like, the Sandshrew and Pikachu shouldn't have been the targets.
I don't think so. I think AJ himself was the target. Like you kind of like, as I said, like you either go for a
kidnap
food.
AJ.
Ooh, could they kidnap AJ? I wonder.
Using those Pokemon grip things.
No, I got a plan. I've got it right. AJ's a decent trainer. Recruit him.
Ooh,
not bad.
Because
he's already a tamer. He's got the whip. He's got the whole the malarkey. He's still he's already an asshole. He's already a good trainer, and Team Rocket are desperately in need of good trainers.
Very true.
Because again, like if you remember Cerulean City, they're recruiting people on the bridge for
not
nuggets.
That. Have you heard of our Lord and Savior, Giovanni?
And the Persian going, yeah. Look how beautiful my fur is. Like, yeah, no, that would work. I'd say, I'd go over that. I'm going to say, Team Rocket just walked in as Jehovah's Witnesses and said, hey AJ, you seem pretty cool. You know, we have a lot of money for you to expand this tent to whatever you want. Maybe you should join us. And he'd probably say yes, because he'd just be allowed to train as many Pokemon as he wants. Because Team Rocket could do the snatching. They will steal the Pokemon, he trains them, and gives them back to Team Rocket. He's got his niche.
There you go. That's actually a great shout as well.
So
we got nick the food, lure them out, or recruit him. That's the three choices.
I'm happy with any one of those as better plans than
what they
go into a red ball and try to lift a Pikachu.
I feel like having him as part of Team Rocket would be too powerful for...
That would put them on a different level, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. We'll let the people decide.
Yeah.
We'll put out a poll and see what wins. But I think
this
is a good split vote, like, I like this one. So, we're at the end of the episode, lads. You're shocked to hear
it's
AJ better. Celebrates.
Ash has not progressed in any way.
Nope, he hasn't learned a thing.
So, AJ said he's going to take off and beat the Pokemon League now, so I'm sure we'll see him after Ash gets his 8 badges.
Yes, almost certainly never. but he will return
Ash
here.
Ash killed him.
He actually felt him. He accidentally failed.
Acted like it didn't happen. That Sanchu was a snacking.
You can't tell me that it didn't happen.
Oh no.
But yes, AJ pledges that he will return when he becomes the number one trainer in the world. AJ and Ash shake hands, promising to meet in the future finals, and AJ warns him that he only wants to face expert trainers.
That's why they don't meet.
That's why they don't meet. Full circle. So, that is the end of the episode, and thankfully our Pokedex is real quick. We only have Sandshrew to check in on. I'm not going to lie, I really like Sandshrew. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I have a soft spot for him. It's naturally based off a... it's based off of two things. The main one is based off Pangolin.
Yeah.
It's also based off an armadillo. It has both elements to it.
Pretentious things at the minute.
Yes, very much so, considering that they tried to blame COVID on pangolins. I'm going, yes. Lads, leave the pangolins alone. They don't even like humans. What do you want about, like? You don't even fucking eat them. Like, what's going on, like? I do like them, and fun fact, they're supposed to have poisonous claws, which is why they have poison sting.
Hmm.
That's why they have it, even though they're ground types.
It is poison ground.
No, just ground.
Is Sandra not?
Nope. Just ground type.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't doubt me!
I have the Pokedex here in front of me. Observe. There, ground. Look.
Scroll
ground. Down. Ground. All ground. There, fucking ground type. Damn. Look. Honestly, man. Sandshrew does get a bit of love in one of the future gens. It gets an Alolan form, which is Ice Steel.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes it look like an igloo, which is kind of cute.
Yeah.
I like it, but Jesus, like, you're not going to use that Sandshrew.
No.
You're not.
Double weak to fire, double weak to fighting, double weak to fucking ground. Steel as well. Jesus, like, it's a poor bastard. It looks nice, though.
Oh, yeah. No, it's well designed,
mm-hmm.
but not well thought out.
No.
In that sense.
Like, the idea of it was nicer than the implementation.
It's artistic rather than strategic.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah,
you would make it into my team, because it's cute.
That's a clue for her actual team, folks, just to be clear. So yes, our Pokédex count then, not much to say about it. It is 26 seen and 5 caught.
Okay.
Really should get a move on at this stage, really.
Yeah.
Starting to fall behind. But that's the end of our episode for now, lads. Again, a sweet, delicious filler episode. More of the same, lads, unfortunately.
First of many.
Yes, I'm afraid so. But that is the end for for the podcast for the time being.
Yep.
We'll see you next week when we tackle episode 9.
Carol Baskin's return.
Revenge of the Baskin. Or Baskin in her glory, I guess. Unfortunately she is Baskin now. She nicked a fucking zoo off your man, so yeah. Fortunately the bad guy won. But here we go.
No.
Life isn't fair, all this shit. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thank you for listening on the Lobos Network, Nerds of Us, Foxy Bros, wherever else you want to listen to our stuff. And we'll see you next week for more of the same.
See yous.
Until then, see you later.
See ya.
Bye. Thank you.